And welcome to My Career in Data, a podcast where we discuss with industry leaders and experts how they have built their careers. I'm your host, Shannon Kemp, and today we're talking to Sandesh Gawande of ICDQ.
With a robust catalog of courses offered on demand and industry-leading live online sessions throughout the year, the Dataversity Training Center is your launchpad for career success. Browse the complete catalog at training.dataversity.net and use code DVTALKS for 20% off your purchase.
Hello and welcome. My name is Shannon Kemp and I'm the Chief Digital Officer at Dataversity. And this is My Career in Data, a Dataversity Talks podcast dedicated to learning from those who have careers in data management, to understand how they got there, and to talk with people who help make those careers a little bit easier. To keep up to date and the latest in data management education, go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Today, we are joined by Sandesh Gawande, the CTO and founder of ICDQ. And normally, this is where our podcast host will read a short bio of the guest. But in this podcast, your bio is what we're here to talk about. Sandesh, hello and welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you for inviting me on the Dataversity Talk.
Thank you for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you and hear more about your career and how you founded ICDQ. So tell me, so let's get into it here. You know, you're the CTO and founder of ICDQ. So tell me, what type of business is ICDQ?
ICDQ, there is a general umbrella of data quality, but where we stand is it's a data reliability product where we focus on data testing, monitoring, and observability, where we try to ensure that we not only deliver data quality once, but throughout the life cycle of the data development. So the basic idea is to cover the complete life cycle of a data project and make sure that you have processes in place that ensures good data quality for your customers.
Yeah, that's a topic that's very, very important to all data management, but especially I think as people start to stand up AI algorithms and so on and so forth, data quality is becoming even more of a hot spot.
That's very true because it's all based on the foundations, right? There's a known caveat like, garbage in, garbage out. But beyond that, what we are focusing on the process to, the process, the people, the process and the tools that generate the data rather than just focusing on the final outcome or the quality of the data. Mm. Like, testing, nobody cares about it. People don't pay attention to it in a way. Or how your process are running in production, people don't pay attention to this. And they try to look at quality at the end of the life cycle. So that's why we're trying to shift their focus from right to the left. So that is our basic thesis behind the product.
Mm, I love it. So as the CTO, what is it that you are doing in your job for the company?
Fundamentally, there are two things I have to take care of. The primary thing is the vision of the product, the conceptual evolution, like where we start, what the product is supposed to do. So most of the time, it is about looking about industry trends, getting my data background experience and seeing what to build in the product. So that's the first part, the main part. And second part is communication with the external world outside of my company, like what the vision of the product is. So it's a dual system. With the left. One side is communicating outside. Hey, you need this. It's something like this you should do in your system. On the other side is communicating to my team. Hey, this is the vision of the product and this is what we need to build within the company. So that's the part A and part B of my role.
Oh, very cool. So, and we'll get more into why you founded the company here in a bit, but tell me, so how do you work with data in your job currently?
Sorry, I didn't hear that question. I'm losing you in between. I don't know why. No, can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Sorry.
So how do you work?
Yeah. It's cool now.
Okay. So how do you work with data in your job?
In this it's very interesting. Like, when you I am a data guy, we can talk about my background, but the fundamental thing is when I am working within the company, I actually don't work with data. I actually work with software, like software architecture, Java, and testing, and this, and the cloud and all that. But I it's The concept is like the application that we build is works on data, but the application itself has to be developed in Java and other technologies. So on one side, you need to understand the data, but you hardly use that information other than building but the development happens totally in Java and other technologies. So it's totally different.
I'm sure it is. So, okay, so let's get into this then, on how you got into this. So let's back it up a lot. So tell me, is this when you were very young, say 6 years old, was this the dream? Did you dream, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to found a data quality company? What was
Absolutely not. Like I
the
think
dream?
when I was a kid, but I always wanted to build a factory, right? Some kind of factory. I think my first dream was to start an eraser factory when I was like I think five, maybe second or third grade. I used to think that this should be a good eraser and how will I assemble a factory. But when I finished my schooling, basic schooling, right? Then I actually wanted to be a designer, right? I actually was also thinking of becoming either a fashion designer or, and then I didn't get through because in that time, back in India, it was not a career that my parents or anybody were there to support me. And I didn't even have that much drive, like the necessary infrastructure to support me. So then I took mechanical engineering and I tried to actually become a machine designer, right? Industrial design. I tried to get into industrial design, but that also didn't work out because they didn't give me admissions. They didn't think that I was a good designer. So then I got into software design.
Wow. Yeah. So
So
is the what
fashion design to software design. That's
but always designing something, always creating something.
yes. That was like the primary driving factor. Like I can't imagine. Like you can say it's a classic ADHD. I want to do something, right? So, but my primary passion is designing.
Yeah.
So I like to see a problem. I see how can I design, and that's actually what got me into the data. Because what happens, right? Many times when you are building software. The fundamental data models. I got into the modeling side and all that, where you design the data models and how to structure the information architecture, and that's how I got into like completely into design. But just before that, when I got into the software, I was not earlier in data. I was in software design. I don't know if you remember Power Builder and Oracle in 97, 99, in that period. So I was like a good developer in that. But then from there, I gravitated towards data modeling, ERD, third normal form, and all that. And then from there, I got into warehouse design and then code here.
Well, okay, so let's back that up then. So okay, so you in school you start studying software design, you get out and you start developing. So how did you go from developer to data modeler? What was the transition in jobs? Like, how did you
No,
decide
I.
you're interested in?
I was in the same company. I was in a startup back in India, and they used to design ERP solutions or software solutions like Salesforce-like solutions, or there was a seed processing plant. So we had to design the complete software to taking seeds, processing them, distributing to factories, storing them in inventory. And since in school, I went to mechanical engineering, I could understand the workflow better than the software engineers. Because software engineers are taught C, C++, whatever it was at that time. But I could look it from the industrial point of view or a manufacturing point of view, right? So I when I was designing this, like I did for like 2 years or so, but then I realized there is a gap. Like people don't understand how to store this information, how to capture. Even the data warehousing concept was new at that time. So how to like this particular client had like seven, eight factories. And the data used to, we had to bring the data in one single place to find out the total inventory, how much sale has happened, and all that. And you won't believe that we used to actually, we designed a system where they used to put tapes and take it back to the central office. But even if you do a tape or something, you have to design how do you capture data from multiple stores and you get a unified view of the store, right? So from the ERP system, you had to also design a data warehouse, kind of a data warehouse at that time, where you can take data from multiple stores and integrate it. So that was the classic shift from software development to actually data modeling and data architecture and things like that.
Nice. Very, very nice. So then what was next? So then you got into the data warehouse.
From there, I came to US. I worked for, by that time, I shifted completely into data modeling and data architecture. I think somewhere in 99, I worked for Qualcomm for data modeling. And I also worked on what about that? Cognos, the multidimensional modeling and cubes and all the reporting designs and all that. From there, I went to various banks like Deutsche Bank, JP Morgan, Merrill Lynch, all these companies. But what happened in Deutsche Bank when I was doing their data modeling, this is I think 2000. I was designing their global data hub where I was the data modeler, not the complete architect. So I did the models and I didn't understand the banking industry that much because it was my first project. But I did do the models, and at some point there was some time left. And then the question was, okay, what else can you do? And I started working on ETL, where you start integrating the data into the model. So it's not just like you can get design the data model and get away with it. Now I had to think about how to get the data into the data model. So from there, I worked for like I think 7, 8 banks and insurance companies and all that. I shifted from like a data modeler to ETL architect to then finally I became a data architect. And the fundamental problem was still there. What I realized is there was a lot of focus on data modeling or data architecture, Bill Inman versus Ralph Kimball discussion and all that at that time, right? But people were not focusing on ETL, the development of data pipeline. And that's where actually I started writing a book on ETL, because what happened is before working in data, I was in the Power Builder Oracle development, and I understood the concept of reusability, object-oriented development, and all that. And one of the problem in data field or data engineering is most of the people are not from software development background. They are mostly purely from data, right? So I understood that every time a new source system comes, you have to rebuild the ETL process again and again and again. And one of my thesis was, why can't we build an ETL process which can only take design once for customer table, one for let's say order table, and then just you reuse it. But since you could have multiple sources, the problem was, you need source specific logic. So then I said, let's take a step back and bring the interface architecture where you bring the source data to a common interface and the interface will take the data and load into the warehouse. So that's what I did for multiple companies. And you could bring it because every time you get a second source, you have a 50% efficiency. If you have three sources, that's 33%. If you have 10 sources, you could just do it in the 10% of the effort. So that was my interest or my focus when building data pipelines and all these big banks and insurance companies. But as the career progressed, I couldn't finish the book. I wrote like 11, I even signed a contract but didn't finish it. And I got into the product development. So the story here was while I was doing these projects and I was trying to write the book, I realized that when the data pipelines run are developed, people are not testing it, right? There were no tools to test. So that was one problem I noticed. And then the second problem I noticed is once the pipeline are running in production, there is nothing to monitor this pipeline. And the data quality concern was there when the final product is out there. But the fundamental, these two problems were there. And I said, oh, let's take a step back. Why can't I build a test automation tool for testing the data pipeline and then something to monitor and observe? Observe is a new concept, relatively new concept, but test, monitor, and later on observability options in the product. So see what happens, right? As you get into the industry and you become a little bit senior, not necessarily very, so the business, anything goes wrong in your data, people come and complain to you, and sometimes they don't complain to you, they are complaining about you because you are the person responsible to deliver the data, right? So as I used to go to office, and then people are like, hey, this is wrong, that is wrong, and this is like, and as this got me thinking is, I need to step back, I need to focus on the data testing, data monitoring. So you ensure that you build it properly, test it properly, monitor it properly, so the data issues don't come in the production system. So that's the, like, that problem statements, you from experience you see a problem statement, from problem statement you see a pattern, from a pattern you build a product. I always like to design. So that's the how we were the first one to launch the data testing and monitoring platform in the market.
Wow, that's really impressive. And I just love your passion for wanting to design something and build something.
I think you're born with something, right? It's like everybody's different. Somebody like to sing, somebody like to dance, somebody like to maybe just design.
Very nice.
Visit dataversity.net and expand your knowledge with thousands of articles and blogs written by industry experts, plus free live and on-demand webinars covering the complete data management spectrum. While you're there, subscribe to the weekly newsletter so you'll never miss a beat.
So, what's been your biggest lesson so far in your career?
I think from a lesson point of view, the thing is, there are two basic lessons, right? One is, don't focus on the tools, and I'm talking in terms of career, in terms of this thing, right? Not to focus on tools, but go to the underlying concept, go to the underlying problem, right? So focusing on that helps a lot in career, right? That is the main thing. And second is very interesting, actually. The fundamental issue that I notice is every time I have a setback, is I ignored new signals or new information coming in the market. And if you are, especially if you're in technology, the pace at which technology and innovation is there, if you ignore something, you're gonna pay a heavy price, right? You have to, like, I think it was Steve Jobs who said, like, you have to cannibalize yourself every time, you have to re reinvent yourself, otherwise your competitor or somebody else will cannibalize you. Right. So if you look at this lesson, the three lessons, the two or three lessons, the fundamental thing is we should always look into the concept, not on the product. That's what I learned. Then you had to, you cannot be become arrogant and say, hey, I know I have a best technology or I have the best solution, but look what is happening in the industry. You'll be what? And related to that is what I think Steve Jobs said, if you don't cannibalize, you look something, don't deny it, accept it, and see what you can adopt within that, from that in your life or in your product or whatever you're doing.
I that's a really good lesson, and especially in tech. So how do you keep up with everything that's changing in tech?
There are, I think, two sources of one is like reading, like, a lot of technical reading. But surprisingly, YouTube is also there, where you hear somebody smart guy talking, or some big guy, or some technology technocrat talking, or this innovation is coming, or this has come. See, they might be half baked at that point, because there's a lot of hype cycle, right, initially. But there is always something good to take away. So like it or not, like podcasts like this, or YouTube is like one of the prime source of information for me, like where the industry is going. There are a lot of smart people talking, and you have to keep you not your ears, your mind open.
Yes, indeed. Both, right? So tell me then, having worked with data for a while, what's your definition of data?
For me, data is so your background, given my background as a mechanical engineer, my thing is it's a product. It's just like any other product. It's non-tangible in a way, like you can't touch it. Maybe you can print it, you can touch it, but it is a product. And if you look at this, when you get data from somewhere, right? So there are two fundamentally there are two parts. There is a factory like systems where the data is created, and then there is a system where the data is processed. So if you look at any application, for me, their primary job is to create data. That's it. So they might be doing transactions, they might be doing a lot of business rules and all that. But at the end of the day, what happens from my perspective, they're creating a product. That is the raw material for me. I take that raw material, I put it through my processing system, my factory where I orchestrate everything, load this, transform this, multiply this, divide this. And then finally, what I'm producing a product for somebody to consume. So, if you look at the example, the word we use, data warehouse. What is data warehouse? It's a warehouse of data. Where did it come from? It came from a factory where they take the material, whatever product is created, they organize it, they put in packets, they put in, those racks and organize it, right? There's no different. So
Right.
it's just a virtual representation of the physical thing that we see in life. That's what data is to me.
Yeah, I love that analogy. I spent a lot of my early career in the retail side of fashion, so I understand the concept and in the product development of fashion. So.
Yeah, you must have seen they get the raw material, they cut it, they stitch it. I used to do it with my mom. They put it in hangers and they organize it, then they packet it. Like, that's
Yeah.
data warehousing. That's like, you transport that ETL, you extract it from one side, you transform, you load them somewhere, you store them.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
No
So,
different.
yeah, no, it isn't. Yeah, I totally agree. So then tell me then, do you especially you're investing your time, your effort, your resources into a company. Do you see the importance of data management and the number of jobs working with data increasing or decreasing over the next 10 years and why?
Actually, when I heard Nadella write recently, but basically it's simple. Everything might go, data is not going anywhere because, as I said, it's a product that has to be that is created constantly and is consumed constantly. Now, if you look from career point of view, what can you do, right? So there are fundamentally two kinds of careers in this thing. One is where you are basically data engineer, where you are processing, storing, and doing something with data, processing the data, which is nothing to do with how it is used, but how it is processed. And then the second careers are where, hey, the data is there. Now, I want to wear them or I want to use them to find something like, who my best customer, my worst customer, my best employee, whatever, right? So I think there are two primary roles. One is the data engineering role, and the second is the consumption side of the role, right, of the data. Now, what I believe is on the right-hand side, on the consumption side, let's start with that. What are the options? You can say, oh, I'm a report builder, or I can say I am a data analyst. I think those jobs are going away because the generative AI and all that, it can build a report. You say, I want this top 10 customer, it will build a report for you. You say, hey, analyze this thing and do something for me. It can analyze the data also, right? It's just a matter of months or years when this the lower end of the jobs will be wiped off. Then the remaining job is actually, if you look at it, is the for a data scientist. I think that role will survive, right? Where you actually tell the system where what you want to extract out of it, and then it goes and extracts, and maybe you do something about it. So I think the low level of the consumption side of the data, they will go away. From like report writers and data analysts, to those kind of roles will go away, and then you have the final one, which is data scientist. everything else will be generative AI. On the left-hand side, on the processing side, same thing is going to happen, but I'll tell you the fundamental issue in the market right now. The people who work in data are not classically trained in software engineering, right? So most of them are like, you know, I'm a data architect, I'm a data modeler and all that, but that has nothing to do with software development, how software should be developed. Give a quick example, right? How can you say in the 21st century that I don't test my system, right? Every application developer tests the system, but how many data-centric systems test their data process and how have they automated it, right? Probably 1%, right? So there is a shortage of data engineers who actually classically trained in software as software development lifecycle. So I see that as a shortage, but that is the fundamental thing that will be required. You call them ETL developers because this ETL development and data pipeline, this also generative AI is going to take it over. Most of the things will be taken over, but somebody to structure and orchestrate these processes, that is still needed. That people will be still needed. Modeling architecture is of course there. Those classical jobs are going to be there, but I think a classically trained data engineer, there is a shortage of those people in data engineering.
Very interesting. So then what advice would you give to people looking to get into a career in data management?
Data management, I would say go at two end of the spectrum, right? Either go into data engineering, right, where you're the best engineer, or go into the data scientist. I won't advise people to go in between, right? Data engineering includes everything QA to everything, right? Not in between. That's my advice.
Very good advice. And it's interesting to, you know, when we first started, I was curious, you know, a lot of founders, some co-founders more common, but founders don't always give themselves the title of CTO. It's usually CEO. And I was curious about why, and now knowing you and knowing that you love to design things, that it makes a lot of sense. But do you want to talk to that a little bit too?
Actually, but now I'm changing it to CEO because there are growth and other like, you know, talking these kind of questions pop up even from, let's say, investors and all that. But initially, my focus was solely based on the engineering side of it, and then not on the business development, like, you know, mostly engineering and then some business development in the background. So that's why I try to keep myself like focused, not to get distracted on this. But now I think I had to, I am changing, like you see changes in the LinkedIn profile and all that, you know, but it's a founder is a founder, right? You know, as a founder, you wear different hats, and you should not, the way I do it, actually, at some point, I was even the CMO when I was looking at the marketing side, right? So as a founder, you should be ready to wear all the hats, and you learn all the aspects from technology, marketing, you know, now I'm trying to understand the money part, finance and all that. But hey, be open to ideas, like, you know, be open to work in different departments, take your training, and then call yourself the CEO. That's what I believe.
it's I love that philosophy. Very interesting path, but it makes complete sense. You ever going to be able to really step away from the designing, you think, to run
or no, just I think the side of the company. I have at least 20 other things that I want to design, at least 20. From, you know, data products to, I don't know, defense products to, there's so many, from cars, like there's so many things like I would love to design. I think one life is not enough.
I agree. So great. Well, Sandesh, it's been such a pleasure to chat with you today. I would be remiss if I didn't ask, you know, if our audience is interested, how would they find out more about ICEDQ?
It's actually integrated check engine for data quality. So icedq.com. And you can always, anybody can reach out to me on LinkedIn. You know, I'm supposed to know a lot about data engineering and data processing and, you know, data reliability. Hopefully, people will reach out, and I'm happy to communicate because, hey, I work in banks and insurance and all the companies, healthcare and everything. So, hey, the information is there. I'm there to solve problems. I'm ready to solve and design solutions for whatever customer needs.
Oh, I love it so much. And we will get both of those links posted to the podcast page as well when we publish the podcast. Sandesh, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you. You have a nice day, and enjoyed the chat myself, right? It was
Oh,
fun. Yeah,
very fun. I always love learning backgrounds. And to all of our listeners out there, if you'd like to keep up to date in the latest in podcasts and latest in data management education, you can go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Stay curious, everyone. Until next time, Sadesh, thank you so much.
thank you.
Thank you for listening to Dataversity Talks, a podcast brought to you by Dataversity. Subscribe to our newsletter for podcast updates and information about our free educational webinars at dataversity.net/subscribe.